What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at HERO.co. I love hearing the stories behind people's tattoos. For mine, one was done spontaneously during my bridal shower. One is in honor of my dog, one is a song lyric from the best song of all time. The list goes on. Well, there's also a tattoo story behind the sock company where I get my favorite socks from, called Bombas. Randy and Dave wanted to make a product that would help the world, which led them to learn that socks were the number one requested clothing item in homeless shelters. Bombas was created soon after with a dedicated one-for-one model to donate a pair of socks for every pair sold. Dave promised Randy he'd get the Bombas logo tattooed on his arm when they donated 1 million pair of socks. True to his word, Dave got the tattoo less than 3 years after Bombas was launched. Socks seem to be the one clothing item with the most annoyances. That seam along the toe, the fabric that slips down your leg or folding under your heel. Bombas took every sock problem and solved it. With added arch support, options for additional heel cushioning, and awesome patterns, Bombas socks are unparalleled. For the best socks in the history of feet, visit bombas.com/yogagirl today and you'll get an additional 20% off of your first purchase. That's Bombas, bombas.com/yogagirl for 20% off. bombas.com/yogagirl. Hi, and welcome to another episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. Today, I have a very special guest on the show, or actually two very special guests on the show. I have Olivia Rothschild and her tiny little baby angel, Hunter Peter. Olivia is the head of the Global Mission Foundation 109 World. She's a philanthropist, a brand new mom, and my best friend. Welcome to the show, Olivia.
Thank you very much.
How does it feel?
It feels great. It feels a little weird to have a baby in my arms meanwhile, but good.
This is so crazy. I can't get over how crazy this is.
Yeah.
Life is so insane.
It is. It's really hard to let it sink in.
How many days is he now?
He's 8 days.
8 days.
No, nine.
9 days. Mm-hmm. 9 days today, and yeah. You're already a working mom. You're here.
Yes.
Recording a podcast.
Yeah.
With a tiny baby in your arms.
Yeah.
So if you've been on Instagram and you've seen Olivia's little man, his name is Hunter, and he has the biggest set of head of hair ever.
Just like I had.
Just like you had. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's like this perfect little, I can't believe it.
No, I can't believe it either. I can't take my eyes off of him.
It's not possible.
No. No.
And my angel baby is out walking with daddy and your daddy, yes. The two dads. Mm-hmm. In Sweden, we have our favorite term, which is latte pappa.
It's spreading now.
It's really spreading now. Yeah. It's becoming like a global term. Mm-hmm. So latte, like a cafe latte, like a coffee. You see these dads on paternity leave all over Sweden walking with their strollers, their babies, and their coffees. And we call them the latte pappa. And it's Dennis's dream to be a latte pappa. And now Patrick gets to live his dream because... Yeah. Latte papa in Aruba doesn't really work. It's not the same.
But they're living it together right now, though.
Right now, they get to do it together. I imagine them in the street now holding hands, pushing Lea Luna in the stroller.
Yeah.
So people ask a lot. So how this constellation, our little family constellation, came to be. Mm-hmm. Because you and I have been friends since we were like...
15?
15?
Yeah.
And Dennis and Patrick have been friends since they were like 10 or something.
Yeah.
And they've been best friends their whole lives. You and I have been best friends our whole lives.
And then we found each other, which is kind of
found each other, which is crazy.
Very convenient.
Very convenient. Yeah. It's totally, people keep asking, like, did you plan this? Like, how did this work out? Because you guys started dating and then me and Dennis got pregnant.
Yeah.
And I remember when I got pregnant, I said, you have to do this now. Get pregnant now.
Yeah. And I was pretty open to the idea already. Yeah.
But Patrick wasn't at the time.
It was just the timing wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. You guys lived in the tiniest apartment known to all of mankind.
Yes. Super small little studio.
I think like 15 square meters or something. It was just one bedroom and a little kitchen.
Where we lived together since after 3 months dating. So it was really early on we moved in there. But it was just not the right time to get a baby on top of that.
No, I remember talking to him. I'm like, Patrick, you don't know, like, we have a lot of power as women. He's like, you have no clue. Like, I'm in charge of this. And then 3 months later. Whoopsie.
Yeah. I went back home to Sweden to leave Aruba because I was illegal. And then while I was away, I just felt that something was going on. So I had to take this test just to double check, and then it showed positive. So I FaceTimed Patrick, and his reaction was, okay, that's good. I wasn't really sure if that was true though.
Okay, that's good. Total shock. But you were more shocked.
I think. Was insane in shock. Yeah.
How many tests did you take?
I took 5.
Just to make sure.
Yes.
To be really, really sure.
Yeah. And they were all positive, so
it was very clear. Mm. No, and I remember me and Dennis, because you were in Sweden, because you weren't allowed to be in Aruba. So Aruba, it's really hard to get a visa to live there. Everybody wants to live in Aruba. It's a very small island. We've all gone through the process of trying to get our visa and working visa to live, and then at one point getting like deported-ish, where you have to take off all of a sudden. I had it with Dennis our first year. I had to go and stay in Colombia for 3 months. And you came to visit me in Colombia.
Yeah.
And then you had to go to Sweden. And then Patrick, like a day randomly, he's like, hey, let's cook at your house. We're like, okay. And we're cooking, we're making like a curry or something. Mm-hmm. And the whole time, like, he's chopping vegetables and he's staring at me and he has this look on his face. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go get something. He's like, no, no, wait, Olivia's calling. I'm like, oh, okay, on FaceTime.
Yeah.
And then you were like, hello. Hello. Oh, hi, hunty.
He's saying hello too.
He's like, hi. Mm-hmm. No, and then you're like, we have something to share. And I couldn't believe that you were pregnant. I was like, no, something has happened. Like, what's happened? I don't know. Like, I first thought something bad. Like, I don't know. And then you were like, we're pregnant. And I cried so hard. I remember I was like, if this is a trick, like, if you're joking now.
So mean.
It's so mean. This is the meanest joke ever. And you're like, no, it's real. It's real. It's real.
And you were lying on the floor. I have some screenshots from that conversation.
I'm almost crying now. It was the best moment ever. Yeah.
But it was unbelievable. Yeah.
So I was 3 months, 3.5, and you were like nothing. Like just 3 weeks or something.
Two, 3 weeks, yeah.
Just found out.
I found out. Mm.
It's pretty unbelievable, actually. It is. And now we have a baby boom here with our girlfriends in Sweden.
Sweden.
Like our girl gang.
Yeah, it's crazy. Everybody's
getting pregnant. Yeah, our friend Sarah was first, and then now us, Lea Luna, and then you and then our friend Siri.
Emma. Yeah.
It's a lot happening. Mm. Do you feel like this is the best time of our lives?
I don't know, because I feel it's just the weirdest time of our lives. It's just about figuring out the day.
And one day at a time.
It's amazing, but it's also so new, everything.
What's the hardest part for you?
To be honest, I haven't felt it being so hard. The only thing is, when he cries, I'm so sad. And that's hard because you know that it's not about you anymore. Not only about you anymore. It's about somebody else, and it will always be that way. You can't return this.
No, you can't go back to what was.
You can't go back at all. And it's just, it's amazing, but it's also difficult to just let it sink in.
To digest this whole new life.
Yeah.
Because already now, Lea Luna is 3 months. I already cannot remember what life was.
Before Leah.
Before her. No. And also because the time of being pregnant is also such a weird time. It's like
yes.
this in between. You're between these two worlds. Like one foot in maidenhood, one foot in motherhood. You're no idea what's coming.
Kind of.
I can't remember what life was before all of this.
No. I can barely remember before birth. It feels like it was ages ago, but I feel like it was like that's the only time I've been alive. It's this past 9 days.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just the weirdest feeling.
But it's a little piece of enlightenment, these babies.
They like for sure.
Show up and kind of wake us up in a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel like they know everything and we don't know a shit.
Anything.
Yeah.
Because, so your due date was June 8th.
Yes.
And we had our flight, like, arriving June 8th. Mm-hmm. So this whole time, we were like, keep him in there, keep him in there. No rush. Like, you're going to be overdue anyway. And then on the, we were at my dad's house for one day. And then we came on the 10th.
Yeah.
And you met Leah Luna for the first time. And you had this big belly. Mm-hmm. And then she sat on your belly. And we took a photo. Hashtag sitting on my future husband. Like, I've already decided that they're... Like, they're going to get married and they're going to have this love story of all time. Patrick thinks it's incest.
Yes. I kind of agree.
It's too close. I'm like, well, we're not blood related.
No, but it's going to be, they're going to grow up together. No.
But it is like family. Beautiful. It is like a weird thing. But in my mind, I'm like, I have the wedding invitations already like planned out. No, and then your contraction started.
Yeah. Or I didn't know for sure.
You were like,
were like, just timed them just in case. So we started doing that, and they showed to be pretty regular.
Yeah, you didn't even have the contraction app.
No.
No. Like, you have to get the app. Time it. They were like 15 minutes in the day, in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
they just started to become more and more intense.
And we were walking around. We went and bought baby stuff.
Yeah, we had a full day.
Full day.
I even went to a party at night.
Party in the evening.
Yeah.
And I really, because we were on the bus at some point, and you were like, oh, it's starting. And then, Patrick, press the app. And I remember exactly the same with Dennis when he was like looking at something else. I'm like, motherfucker, can you just pay attention?
Focus.
Press the app button.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were still like, maybe it's not it. Maybe it's something else. Maybe not.
I know, but you don't want to get your hopes up, but still there, you know, it's something different and you know it's going on, but you don't want to be too sure about it.
But it's also like surrendering to like, okay, it's happening. It's kind of a scary thing.
Yes. And I think when I did, they became much more intense. Because we went home after that party pretty early. Late for being the day before labor. But we came home at around 11. And we went to bed. But then right when I went to sleep, it just became too intense to sleep. So I just stayed up and texted with you.
Yes, the whole night.
Yeah.
No, because that I didn't want to go to sleep because I knew it was coming and I couldn't sleep. I was so excited. Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to go to bed now and get some rest. Yeah, like at 11 or 12. Mm. And then I think at 12:30 you were like, hello?
You still there?
Are you here? This hurts.
Yeah. Jesus. But that pain was nothing.
Nothing. No. But it was really nice to be on the other side of it, like for me, because, it was horrible. After I gave birth, and then Dennis is like, are you going to tell Olivia how hard it was? I was like, nope. And I called Patrick. I was like, Patrick, you have to prepare.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I was like, it's so much harder than I thought. It's so much more painful. I almost couldn't do it. You have to help with it. Like, you have to be there. I'm not going to tell her because... I don't know. It's like you can't tell a 7-month pregnant woman like this shit is almost impossible.
No, but it's also even though if I knew, I would not know. You know what I mean?
Right. You can't.
No, you don't know what it's all about. But thank you for calling him. He did an amazing job.
He really
guided me through it. Yeah.
And you were home a long time though, because midnight it really started.
Yeah.
And then we were up talking to like 4, maybe 4 or 5.
Yeah, you kind of went to sleep.
Yeah, came back.
Woke up.
I dozed off and I was like, is the baby here? Like, what is happening? What is happening? Oh, and the not the worst part, but the you guys went to the hospital. What time was that?
7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then you were how many centimeters?
Five.
And I asked, what's the pain level now? Because the whole time, pain level 1 to 10. You were like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then pain level 8 and 5 centimeters. And I woke Dennis up. I was like, this is going to be really shitty. Like, we have to pray. We have to like.
Yes. That was not an 8.
That was not an 8.
No.
No.
No, but the weird thing is, as soon as he came out, I completely forgot.
I didn't have that.
No?
No.
No. You were still in that.
I mean, you forget, like, everything that happened before that was, like, not important anymore. Mm. But once, like, we came home and everything was calm, I could really still feel, like, remember exactly how bad the pain was. Yeah. I think for 2 weeks or something afterwards, I could still, like, shiver with it.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. For me, it disappeared, but I still know the pain because I know that the only thing I could say to Patrick during was like, I'm calling this off. I can't do this. I want to go back to sleep. We have such a nice bed now. I just take me back.
I'm done.
Because I thought like I was pretty confident before, like I can do this. But in the middle of it, I thought, no, you know what? I can't.
Yeah, I had that same thing.
Yeah, but then you do it,
and both you and I were like pretty smärttåliga, like how do you say it, like we can handle pain really well. We're tough, we're like solid. You know, we're not like fragile.
That's how people. I like to think.
That's what I like to think too. I was like, I'm gonna rock this birth. And then at some point midway, like, can someone just hand me like a chainsaw? I'll cut the baby out myself.
Like, yeah, I was considering C-section in the middle of the thing to get rid of it.
For it to be over. Yeah.
But then you do it. And that's the wonderful thing about labor, I think. Mm-hmm. That you doubt yourself so much and then you can still do it.
Because you can still do it. And no matter how you do it, you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us how it, after the 5 centimeters, then went pain level 8. And then what happened? Middle of the night.
Well.
Oh no, that was the day. Morning.
Yes. So at 7, when I arrived at the hospital, I was 5 centimeters. Then I had my contractions at home for during the night. But as soon as I came to the hospital, I think they increased in intensity so much. And they monitored the baby a little bit on my belly and the contractions. And they said, yes, you're it's like going on right now. And then I felt it was the longest morning in my life. I thought time went so slow. And I thought I was doing so... I wasn't doing it right, you know? Because I thought it should be faster. Yeah. And Patrick kept telling me I was doing so well and that he's amazed and all that. And that really kept me going. And then I was in the shower for an hour. And then I started getting those...
the warm water, did it help?
Yes. Yeah. So much.
Yeah, for me too.
Because I didn't have any painkillers, so the warm water was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really helped. But in the shower, I started getting the... what do you call them? Krystverkar?
The push contractions.
And then I thought, okay, now I'm
now
there.
We're ready. And then
what? But the water never broke.
And what centimeters were you then when you got the push contractions? So, because I never got them. That was my weirdest part.
Yeah, that's so strange. But I was at 7 then already, but the water never broke. So I was like, what do I have to do for the water to break? And she said, I'll help you with that if you want. I said, yes, do it.
And so, then shit got real.
Yes, the contractions were insane after the water broke. And they never really went away.
I have goosebumps now because I can remember this. Yeah.
And it was just, that was just a long ride of pain. But I must say, I really preferred, if you can prefer anything, the push contractions.
Everybody said that. Yeah. And that's also what I heard. Like, almost everyone I spoke to was like, oh, and when the push contractions came, that was like a relief. And now you have power and it overtakes you.
Yes, it did, really.
And I never, ever, like, even when I arrived at 10 centimeters, I never got them. And then it'd been 24 or 23 hours at that point. And I remember telling the lady, I'm like, I'm pushing this baby out now. She's like, if you don't have the push contractions, it's almost not possible.
But do they know the reason why?
They think because of how she was positioned. So she was, her head was tilted to one side. Mm-hmm. So she came out with the head like the long way. So maybe she wasn't pushing in the right areas. Like, I really don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But when she came out, you know how babies normally have that little
cone head?
Cone head, like Hunter had a little bit. She had it, but in the side. Like her head came out another way.
Okay.
Which is also why she was stuck for so long.
Yeah.
So maybe that was why. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was really, I was trying to explain to Dennis, like, trying to push a baby out without feeling the urge to push. I'm like, imagine you have to shit out a couch.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go to the bathroom at all. You just, as you are right now, shit out a couch. Like, imagine that feeling. Like, it was so horrible. Like, that for me, the pushing was the hardest by far.
I can imagine.
And I wasn't prepared because everybody said it was such a relief and wow. And then I didn't have that. So I was like, I didn't read this part in the books. Like,
no.
I studied everything, but I thought this part would be so easy, but no.
No, I can imagine.
But you pushed him out fast.
Yeah, it took me three.
Three pushes.
Three pushes. But it was like I was a jungle woman. I mean, the roar that came out of me, I don't know where it came from. It wasn't yelling, it was just a roar from deep, deep down there. And then he came after three.
Primal.
Yes, completely primal. Yeah. And then he was just there, and I was like, who are you? Where did you come from? So odd.
Did you feel like you recognized him?
No, not at all. I thought so. I thought you would be like, oh, yes, this is my little baby. But then when he came, I was like, but you don't look like any of us. Who are you? It was really my reaction, but the relief and love and laugh and cry, everything at once. But I was really, my first question was, who are you?
But he really looks like himself.
He really does. Yeah. Yeah. But everyone, I mean, from the family, everybody that looks at him is like, oh my God, he looks so much like me or like daddy, or everybody sees something in him, which is also great.
I have a hard time seeing that with Lea Luna, like...
She's a total mix of you two, I think.
People say that, and then some people say, oh, she looks so much like Dennis, but it's hard to see in your own baby.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, some things are starting, and she's changing so fast now. Like, it's
so fast. But from the beginning...
I mean, it's been 9 days for you. He's already 3 centimeters taller, which is crazy.
Yeah, he grew a lot.
She grew 1 centimeter per week, so in 1 month, 4. And he grew in a week, 3. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You have like super boobs.
Yeah. The midwife asked me, what do you have in your boobs? What's in your milk? Well, I guess he knew exactly how to breastfeed as well. That helped a lot.
That's a big relief.
Yeah.
And that's going so well.
Yeah. It's going really, really well.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Like, no, but I mean, 9 days in it's time is really moving quickly now.
Yeah. It's weird that we're having these conversations at all.
No, at all. Yeah. But it's kind of nice, like everything that you guys go through now, me and Dennis, like we had those phases, like we know that, you know.
Yes, that makes it so much easier.
But it's such a nice thing that we can actually talk about this and kind of go through the knowing and the not knowing together. Because it's also so different, like they're two super different babies, but it's also really similar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And she's just now like grasping onto things. I don't know. We were just standing here. I'm like, Luna, like, look at little Hunter. And she's just staring like in the ceiling. Like she doesn't really like
super happy.
Super happy. Like, oh, life is great. But I can imagine them like, you know, when they can sit and play and like
talk and interact.
And
yeah, that's going to be amazing. Oh, wow. You'll have to move to Sweden.
Why the fuck did you leave?
So many, I don't know, different reasons.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. What I put onto my body is just as important as what I put into it. That's why I'm excited to introduce you to a line of beauty products called Kupari. Kupari beauty products moisturize skin and hair without harmful sulfates, silicones, GMOs, or parabens. Instead, Kupari's products are made with 100% organic coconut oil. Kupari's products provide head-to-toe body care. There's a coconut sheer oil, the perfect light facial moisturizer, a coconut balm for soothing super dry skin, a coconut crush scrub for a revitalizing full body buff, and a coconut body glow for beautiful, natural, all-over shimmer.
Coconut oil is the one ingredient I always make sure to have around. Kopari takes coconut oil to the whole new level. Using Kopari's coconut melt has given my moments of self-care an amazing boost. With self-care being even more important now that I'm a mom of a newborn, I so appreciate how I feel after my nightly ritual with Kopari. Kopari's coconut oil is the highest quality. The aroma is light, the texture is totally smooth, and you can apply it head to toe knowing you're giving your body safe and pure nourishment. Say aloha to the best skin and hair of your life with Kopari. Go to koparibeauty.com/yoga to get 20% off your order. That's Kopari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/yoga for 20% off.
Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That's a question we get a lot. People were like, Olivia and Patrick left? So you guys lived in Aruba almost... Two years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you moved to Sweden.
Yes.
Why?
Well, for many reasons. I think when we were already thinking about it before the baby, because Patrick really wants to look for a good job in his field, which in Aruba is non-existent.
Do you know how to pronounce his like education?
He's a researcher in bio something. It's in cancer.
Yeah,
something.
He's a scientist.
That's good. That's a good word.
That's a good word.
Yes,
and it makes it sound like he's like glasses and lab coat and stuff. He's like a surfer slash scientist.
A surfing cool. scientist.
Surfing scientist.
Yeah. But Stockholm is a really good. Good city for that, and a lot more jobs. So we were already looking at it, and then when the baby came, we just felt like, you know, we can't stay in this little studio, and I had my apartment already at home and close to family, friends, of course. And also for 109, because I felt like there's a big potential in Sweden to establish us here, which
is true.
Which is very true, and it's already been going very well. So I thought that was a good idea for us.
Let's talk about 109. So if you're listening and you follow us on Instagram, I feel like there's a lot of people that follows us because we're friends.
Yes.
And that's all they know. It's like the Dennis, Patrick, Olivia, Rachel combo. Story. Like that's the story.
Yeah.
But we founded 109 World now 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think so. What are we now? Yeah, almost 3 years ago.
Almost 3 years ago. And do you remember we were sitting at that hotel in Amsterdam?
Yeah.
Oh, we have to tell this story. This is a good podcast story. No, but it started with, maybe share a little bit of your background. Like, when did you know that you wanted to do good things for the world?
I knew so early But I went to university and I was studying peace and conflict research. And then I moved to London to study a master's in social entrepreneurship. So I knew already that I really wanted to combine business with philanthropy or doing good. That was my big dream. But then, you know, plans don't always go as planned. And when I was done with my master's degree in London, I started working here in Stockholm at a PR agency.
But you also, like your master's degree, you traveled the world.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yes, I traveled a lot.
While studying.
While studying, and also before and after. And
how did you pull that out? Because I think that's a dream. I think there's people out there that are like, they really want to study, they have a goal, they want to move towards something, but maybe not stay in the same place or stay home.
Yeah.
And you were in how many countries?
Well, I took a gap year right after high school, and that set the tone for, you know, what I wanted to do and what I like to do. Because I had saved up for a while, and then I just, and of course, I was working a little bit here and there, and I went to China, I went to South America, I traveled around there, I went to Switzerland to ski and work, and worked in France for a bit, I came to Aruba,
Colombia.
I worked a little bit in New York on an internship. Yeah, I did a bunch of things. I went back to South America and I took courses online. So I was still studying.
No, that's the cool part.
Yeah.
Like you did it such a good way. Like I took off. I was like, fuck this shit. I'm out. And I went to live in a shack. Yeah. To like do yoga and do nothing for years, which is very, very good and amazing for me. And you did the perfect mix, I feel, because you did that. You got the freedom of traveling and like, you know, seeing the world, but you still committed to completing your studies.
Yeah, I did.
Which takes a very strong mindset, I think, to do that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It was just the perfect lifestyle for me. Having a little bit of the serious to ease my conscious and then I go have fun and then learn languages and, you know, just see the world and meet other people. Well, you know about that part.
But I wonder if other countries are, because Sweden has a really good program for that.
Yes,
they actually give you support to study abroad. There's lots of branches globally where you can you know, you can go abroad for a while, continue your studies, and then come home and pick up where you left off. I feel like a lot of countries, they make it really challenging.
For sure.
But if you leave,
Sweden,
you lose.
Is a very good country for doing those sorts of things. I mean, I was at some point I was in South America only living on my student loan and studying
incredible
online. It was the best.
I mean, in Sweden, this is hard for, I think, people in the US to understand, but they actually pay us to study here.
Yeah.
Like if you go to school, you get support.
Yeah.
If you want to take a loan, you can do it really easily too, if you need more support. But we are very encouraged here to go to school. I mean, we had a lot of friends who did that. I felt like they were after high school or, you know, after a gap year, like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. Mm. I don't want to take a shitty job. I'll just hop on a course somewhere because then you get study. What's the word?
Points.
Like you get money every month, credit, and you know, to do that. So it's like you're encouraged to learn versus like become a bartender or do something.
Yeah.
You know, that's not really gonna take you far or many places. So that's, I mean, Sweden is cool in a lot of.
Yeah, you should move here.
We got an apartment, okay? It's like a big
step. It's a big step.
Yeah. No, but we were talking about this yesterday. I cannot remember with who. Oh yeah, we saw Lin, our friend Lead yesterday, and I was telling Angela, who's our COO now of Yoga Girl Group, she was wondering, like, how didn't you study like briefly? Didn't you have like a university
briefly
stunt? And I was like, oh yeah, and I was sharing the story. Do you remember this? So I was in between Costa Rica trips. I came home for something in Sweden, and then I was like moving right back, and I was in Lidingö, where we grew up, and you called me, and you're like, hey, you should come. There's Stocken, not home, like Stockholm's nation, which is
sorority.
Sorority. I mean, you can't really say sorority.
But
it's cooler than sorority. It's like in the universities here. How do you explain it? Like a not home?
I don't know, but it's a big building where you just hang out as a student and you're a member of the. There are many different buildings and you choose which one you're a member of.
And where you live. Also, they can be connected to where you.
Yes. And then
for students only. And they have restaurants and nightclubs and bars that are attached to this community.
Yeah. And it's all run by students as well.
Run by students.
And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you're like, and Stockholm's not hon, which is like the big, that's the Stockholm. This was in Uppsala, so where I was born actually. And yeah. Oliver, you went there to study, mm-hmm. and you said, this is a huge party night, like come to Uppsala, take the train, like let's have fun. And I was like, okay. And I took the train and I went over and we went out partying all night long. And then I woke up in the morning and I was like, And I walked over to the university building and I was
signed up.
I enrolled for a semester studying sustainable development. I had no place to live.
It was a good way to lure you in.
Perfect. I was like, this party scene here is awesome.
Your dad was pretty happy about me.
I called my dad. I was like, hey, so I'm going to study in Uppsala University for a while. He was like, what? Great. And he was like, thank God for Olivia. And then you and I lived in your grandmother's apartment.
Yeah. For a little bit.
I was like,
so weird thinking back.
Thinking back, I mean, this was how long ago? 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I don't know.
Yeah, 9 years ago.
And I managed a couple of months, or about half a year maybe, before Sweden got cold again. And I missed the rainforest.
You started working instead.
Yeah, I got distracted. I became a bartender and I started waitressing and then I did the studies on the side and then I abandoned it completely and then I went back to Costa Rica eventually.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. Angela was like, how did you end up in Uppsala? I was like, well, Olivia called me. There was this party there. So I never completed like college or university, but you did.
Yes.
And then you started working in Stockholm after all your travels.
Yes, and my master's in London. And then I got this really nice job at the PR agency in public affairs.
And how did that happen? Because that was a big change. Like you were everywhere, China, South America, like all over, US.
Yeah.
And then you came here and you got this super serious job.
Yeah. But to be honest, it was... So I thought before graduating from... in London, I thought, okay, I need to start applying for jobs, I guess. So I applied for this job. And then when they answered and said, come in for an interview, I thought, okay, but then this is meant to be. I'm not going to apply anymore for any other job. And then I went home on this interview and it was so serious. But I ended up getting the job and I thought, this is a really good position.
What was the position? What was it?
Well, I was a junior consultant at in our public affairs group at this big PR agency. And it was a very good way to start your career, kind of, getting into that network.
Work mode.
Yes, yeah. Work mode. And it was tough. I worked a lot.
This was your crazy time.
Mm-hmm. And
You worked insane.
Nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big transition. Like you went from dancing your way around the world kind of to this like super job that took all of your time and energy.
Yes, completely. And I thought this is great because I can, now I'm going to stay in Stockholm for a while. I got my apartment and life started to become a little more serious and I liked it. But after 2 years, of course, we started talking.
You were tired.
I was very tired at that point. I reached some kind of bottom, I think.
Let's talk about that bottom. In Sweden, we have a good saying called gå in I väggen, which means literally walk into the wall. Yeah. To hit a wall, I guess.
But it's what happens because you kind of, I can't say that it didn't feel it, but you can't foresee when it happens. All of a sudden, you're just on the floor, literally.
And how did that happen for you?
I was on my way home from a very intense day at work with many meetings all over town. And we had this big Christmas dinner. So I had to go back home and change and go back to work for the dinner. And then on my way on the subway, I felt so nauseous. And I remembered, oh my God, I forgot to eat and drink. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fall. And that's what I did. I got off the subway and I fell on the platform. And a guy came and he's like, oh, how are you? How are you doing? And everything was just like in a I don't know, on a ship in a big, it was just, everything was going around in my head and
spinning.
Thank you. And I just said, yeah, I'm fine. And then I managed to walk home. And I called my dad. I said, you know, I think you have to come. And he came over with some food and drinks. And I was just, I couldn't move. Literally could not move. And my heart was racing. And then the days after, I still went to work the day after because I had some important meetings and interviews to do, but
everything was so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that everything is so important and that, it won't happen without you, but it will, of course. But I went there and I remember feeling the worst hangover I have ever felt. It was like you've been drinking for a week.
But this was after 2 years of working like 16, 18 hours.
Yeah, it was, I mean...
And taking on a lot. I think it's, some people can manage the long hours of work.
Yeah,
but it's sure. the feeling like, if I'm not here, everything falls apart.
Yes. And that you're not doing well enough. Mm-hmm. You're not doing enough. That you're never enough. That's the feeling, I think.
You have to perform, perform.
Yeah. That drowns you.
And you still went the next day.
Yeah.
You did all your things. Because if not, then what? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And it was also the last day before I could go on my Christmas holiday. And I went on my Christmas holiday and I thought, you and I spoke and you said like, yeah, but you take this time to think through if you want to be there or not. And we already started speaking a little bit about 109 and what it could potentially become or be. And
it was like a little seed of...
Very little seed.
Like I had this influence all of a sudden through social media and wanted to do something good. And I was like, who else to do something like this than you? But you were like this career woman, you know?
Yeah.
Like I remember we went to Sweden a few times and you barely had time to see us.
Mm,
yeah. And then it's like we saw you like once in one of the trips we were here. And I remember telling him like, this is not the Olivia that I know. Like,
no.
You were so working so hard.
Yes. Yeah, I was. And it didn't feel good after a while. So this little seed was kind of enough for me to... to take that step. So I think it was 1 week in when I came back from the holiday that I told my boss that I'm not going to continue.
This was January.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2015.
Yes, 2015, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, I thought it was a sign. Everything is a sign.
Yeah.
But the timing was really amazing, actually.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah. And I mean, for the start of 109, so for people that aren't, if you don't know what 109 World is or what 109 World does, so we are a...
Hey, waking up a little bit.
Should we take a little breastfeeding break?
Maybe, yes, I think so.
Be right back.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
What inspires you to get on your yoga mat every morning? How about finding inspiration from your wardrobe? I'm talking about your yoga pants, of course. Practicing yoga every damn day is not always easy. On those mornings when I don't feel inspired to step on my mat, I put on yoga pants in bright and happy colors and then I'm ready to move. Re-inspire your practice this summer. Toss aside those boring, plain black leggings and step into a fresh pair of artist-designed yoga pants from Sankalpa. Sankalpa Yoga Pants features over 65 amazing high-quality prints from artists and yogis around the world, each print telling a story. Perfect for a vigorous workout or everyday wear, these pants will surely be a conversation starter wherever your day takes you. Made from the highest quality microfiber yarn that feels like second skin, each pair is printed, cut, and sewn in Southern California. Your Sankalpa pants can now match your yoga mat. Sankalpa's brand new line of yoga mats are made with eco-friendly natural rubber, so your mat never slips and they have an ultra-soft microfiber surface that feels incredibly good on your skin, gripping even when you sweat. Plus, a different artist creates each pant and mat design. Your purchase directly supports the artist behind the print. Go to livesankalpa.com. That's LIVESANKALPA.com and use promo code YOGAGIRL to get 20% off of everything. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $100. If you don't love your mat and your yoga pants, you can send them back in the first 30 days for a full refund guaranteed. Sankalpa creates super limited prints for each design and they sell out fast. Hurry up and get your favorite design before it's gone. Start this summer off with inspired, fresh, artist-designed yoga mat and yoga pants from Sankalpa. For 20% off your entire order of the most beautiful and inspiring pants and yoga mats, head to livesankalpa.com and use the promo code YOGAGIRL. That's LIVESANKALPA.com, promo code YOGAGIRL. So we are back. Hunter's on your lap and you're holding your boobs.
Yes, because the milk won't stop.
It's so glamorous, this motherhood. It's so amazing. He's so perfect. I cannot get over the perfection of this baby.
I know, me neither. I think it's just because I'm a mom that I think so, but
I thought so too. In the beginning, I was like, okay, I'm the only, like, of course, I think my baby is the most beautiful baby.
Yeah.
But we have the most beautiful babies.
It's true.
Okay. So humble.
So humble.
Yesterday I was like, oh, she's gonna be a Nobel Prize winner, or she's gonna do something magnificent because she's rolling over, which I think is like a genius thing. Right, it on is. Track.
It is.
But we were saying, so 109 World is a global mission foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to youth, an organization, nonprofit organization dedicated to enable individuals around the world to help make a difference for people in need.
Yes.
So it's not so much that 109 as an organization wants to just us, like we're going to change the world, but we want to empower other people to know that they have the ability to change the world. And how it came up, or the seed that was planted in me from the beginning, was me and Dennis had a retreat. I was all of a sudden, I was yoga girl and I was traveling all over the world, and classes that used to be like, you know, 10, 15 people became 50, 100 people, and it was growing. And the social media thing really was allowing me to live my dream and to travel the world and do so really successfully with lots of abundance. And then we would do retreats, like 6 or 7 retreats every year. They would always sell out, but it would always take some time, you know, and we would always get these perfect groups. And then we had one retreat. This was 2000. It was the year before that we sold it. And for this one retreat, we had 45 spots and we had like 500 people try to sign up for this one thing, which had never happened before. Like, we'd never had an influx of people that huge. You know, I couldn't believe that 500 people wanted to come to Thailand with us to do yoga twice a day. It was just so crazy. He's like, I know. I was there in spirit.
I was there
in spirit. He's like, I knew everything. Pause that. All right, little Hunter is eating. No, so what I was sharing is that we had this trip to Thailand, and then we had 500 people try to sign up to want to come, which was really, really crazy. And we never had it before, but we had to actually decide who got to come and join this trip and who didn't. And my big epiphany at the moment was like, holy shit, if this many people, you know, want to come to Thailand to do yoga twice a day, imagine if we could gather like half of these people or 10% of these people, but to make a change in the world. What if instead of doing yoga twice a day and drinking green juice and taking care of ourselves, if we gathered somewhere to help a community in need, for instance? And I remember calling you like, okay, I think we have, you know, something here. Concept. Because retreats are so lucrative. You know, you do make a lot of money in retreats, but a huge portion of what people spend to come on a retreat goes to the hotels, it goes to lodging and the food and everything around it. So the idea was kind of, what if we could partner with super cool places where they give us good deals and we could have all the profits, all the proceeds maybe even go to support different projects that are doing good in the world.
Yeah. And at the same time, I think what was a big part of what we were talking about is your influence on social media and how we could make use of that, because a lot of people that follow you because you inspire them, right? And then how can we use that to inspire to do good for your surrounding and not only for yourself? So we really wanted to make use of that power of social media
and do something awesome.
Yes,
because it's also like, what's the point? I knew, you know, I didn't want to make a bunch of money or market a bunch of things, and people were really paying attention and listening, and there is influence there. So you know, influencing people to do good things is a pretty beautiful thing. But at the time, I think in my head, this concept was so easy. And then we found out it wasn't that easy
to make it all
in practice. But you and I, we met up in Amsterdam. Mm. This was in January. You had just hit your wall, quit the job.
Yes. I was still working there, though.
But yeah, you had like a few your notice, and then you had a...
Exactly.
Yeah, all of this was kind of at the same time. And then we have our third best friend. Our third best friend. We have so many best friends. But our third girl, Daniela, who runs right now a super amazing also our organization and company, also became a social entrepreneur, which is so cool. But she had helped me plan my wedding in... amazing ways, and I knew I wanted to repay her somehow, but she refused to get paid, like paid. So we decided, or I decided, I wanted to buy her a trip, and then maybe you and I and her could go on this like epic girls trip together, like we used to when we were teenagers.
Yeah, and call it a conference.
And call it a conference. That was like the genius of all of it. So you and I met up in Amsterdam, where we stayed at this kind of spa hotel, and we had like 24 hours to, for the first time, really talk about 109.
Yeah.
It was like our first working meeting.
Yeah, we sat down with a notebook.
We sat down with a notebook and a computer and a gin and tonic.
Yeah.
At this hotel in Amsterdam. And we solidified all of our ideas and the concept and what could work and what couldn't and the steps and action items.
Yeah.
And everything.
Everything. And then we dropped it. That was it. That was our conference.
That was our conference. We had 24 hours. And then... Daniela didn't know what was happening. This was the best. We just spoke to her boyfriend. He had to drop her off at the airport. She had a ticket to Amsterdam and we picked her up. She didn't even know who was going to be there. That was the best. She didn't know at all. She didn't know it was you and me. She just knew there was a surprise waiting for her and she had to go to Amsterdam alone with a pack. And we told her to pack her bag. She got a secret postcard that said she had to pack like Uggs, like warm boots and gloves and a bikini.
Really
to throw her off, really weird stuff. And she came to the airport and there you and I was. Like I flew from Aruba and you flew from Sweden. And this was the funnest part. So we were at the spa hotel. So then we had a couple hours there. We went to the spa and to the pool and had brunch and we had this super awesome day and night. And then she thought that we had, of course, like a spa weekend in Amsterdam and that that was the thing. And then we randomly went to the airport. We blindfolded her and then we stepped on a plane to Thailand. All together.
Surreal for her.
It was so surreal for her. I think now, like, it was almost a little mean of us to like, to bring such a huge surprise on another person without saying anything. But then we had 2 weeks in Thailand, which was, I think, our best trip ever. It was the best.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. It was so amazing. And we get to talk a lot about 109 there too, but it was just so good for us to have that girls' time, you know, the way we used to when we were kids. And then I don't remember really after that how long, little Hunter, how long until we started doing 109 full time. And then I think somewhere after Thailand, I can't remember how long, but we took the step to really make 109 like a full time thing.
Yes.
Do you remember how that happened?
I think that I, in my head, committed to it the minute I resigned from my job, but I didn't know what it was going to be at all. But at that point, I think I decided that I would go to Aruba and we would actually, you know,
make it happen. Somehow.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you came to Aruba. I can't remember.
I came to Aruba, but you weren't there.
And it was such good timing. I remember because we had the happiness tour.
Yes.
This long tour and you had hit the wall.
Yes.
109, we wanted to make it happen. So I was like, great, come to Aruba, like house sit, stay in the house, take the car, like go to the beach every day, heal, like chill.
Yes.
And then we were out touring the States.
You were away for a month. So I was there.
No, happiness tour was almost 3 months. It was 2.5
yeah,
months.
Yeah, but
when you were there. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was house sitting for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And got to know Patrick really well.
Got to know Patrick really well. I remember that so well. I was FaceTiming you or texting you or something. And then Patrick was like at the house making juice. And I was like, what's happening? Patrick is at our house with Olivia making juice. And then it's just like, no, you know, relax. There's nothing there.
No.
Oh, God.
Well, it took a while, though.
Yeah. But that was the seed.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And then you came back, and then we had the idea was for me to stay there for 2 months, so we could kind of set the ground for 109, and I could go back to Sweden and continue working with it. So we did that. I was there for another almost 2 months mm-hmm. or one. And I remember going on these long dog walks where we would talk through everything and come up with ideas.
That was our best brainstorming, was yeah. walking the dogs yeah. on the North Shore. Yeah.
And then I never left.
Yeah, you stayed.
Or and, I went home for a little bit, but and came back. Yeah. yeah. And moved to Aruba.
And then we got help. We got like a graphic designer to help us make a logo. Yes. We got help to make a website. We were just pro bono-ing everything.
Yeah, we tried to make use of all the help that was offered from everybody. Because as soon as we kind of put this idea out there, people were so willing to help out. And that's one of your strengths. I mean, and that we've been using a lot to make 109 happen is to gather a community of people that really want
to use their resources.
Yes, whatever they can and offer that.
And I think what we solidified there is 109 became, you know, it went from this idea of being very a little yoga focused, I think, where it's like almost a yoga retreat where you do good, to really a global mission foundation where the focus is not so much the yoga or, you know, just for the participants to have this different experience, but really what we do in the world.
Yeah.
And we laid the milestones or the foundations of 109, which is, let's wild them off. So we work with water,
yes.
with children, mm-hmm. with female empowerment, the environment, yeah. with animal rescue, with
food security
and education.
Yes.
Hey. So those are the seven pillars.
Yes. And we have one added that's mm-hmm. always the personal well-being and
from
health.
Within. Yeah. That's kind of where the yoga and the meditation comes in. Right. So there's always that component in every trip. So what we do is, I mean, in a nutshell, is we find amazing projects all over the world. And we organize a mission around this project or around a cause that needs to, a place in the world where support is needed. So for instance, the first one we ever did was Nicaragua, and the cause was water. So there was a village that was outside of where the government of Nicaragua would support with water and with infrastructure, I guess. Mm. And there was a village there where they never had water. They never had running water in their houses. They had no access to potable water at all. So they would walk for kilometers or, you know, do these crazy treks just to get water to drink.
Unsafe water.
And it was unsafe. It was like half salt and really not good. So we did a social media campaign, raised a lot of funds, and we sold this mission trip where people could come on the trip, do yoga every day, experience beautiful culture of Nicaragua, but also work. And Nicaragua was a working
trip. It was tough.
It was tough. We spent
a lot of manual labor.
I mean, 53 people came to the trip, which is a big trip.
Yeah.
And we spent hours every day
digging
in the heat and laying pipe.
Yes. Yeah.
And together with the community. So not just our group, but the whole community came out and everybody did this together. So the funds that 109 raised helped to pay for all the materials and the pre-work, kind of the groundwork that was laid before we arrived and then continued after we left.
Yeah. Yes.
It was a long time ago now. Wow.
It feels like a very long time ago. And then we've done different trips, and they're all, the beauty of it is that they're all so different.
We've done Latvia to support an orphanage there, mm-hmm. Ecuador after the earthquake that hit.
Yes,
we've done
Aruba
for the animal rescue,
Greece that just ended now a couple of days ago for the refugees, and now we have one coming up with the two of us.
Yes, it's been a while since we did a trip together.
Yes.
With this baby boom. We have one coming up.
The babies will be there too.
The babies will be there too. And the grandmothers. We need the grandmothers now. Holy cow. But this next one is coming up in Sweden, which is our first trip, our first mission in Sweden, in Öland, in the beautiful island outside of Sweden.
Yeah.
And this causes women.
Yes. Women empowerment. And this trip is a little different because we're not going to the destination where the funding is going to. Because the funding from this trip will go to support a hospital in Congo called the Pansy Hospital, where they take care of survivors of sexual violence. It's hugely widespread in Congo. And
it's a method of war.
It's a method of terror and war.
Terror, yeah.
And women suffer I mean, of course, physically, but also mentally a lot from this. And they have a very, very successful model to take care of these women and empower them to also come back out to society, because that's a very hard part.
For life to go on.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but we're not going to Congo because it's way too dangerous at the moment. And but we're going to Öland, Sweden. And this sexual violence problem is something that exists everywhere. So we really want to take it down to a level where we can identify it kind of and help each other, even if you've been through it or not, any kind of trauma that leads to guilt, to be a resource for your surrounding or yourself. So we're going to work a lot with that when we're there, and just be a group of strong women supporting each other.
And we have some really special
guests
on the trip as well.
Yes, we have Toris Elva, who is a survivor of sexual violence, and she, if you haven't, you can go listen to her TED Talk.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, and she actually speaks together with her
perpetrator. They wrote a book together. So she was raped, and the man who raped her.
Yes.
They managed to heal.
Yes.
Wildly enough.
She's talking about forgiveness and how she could move on. So that's going to be very special to have her there. Hmm. And
it is such a, I mean, it's something that's, it's so taboo. It's not fairly common spoken about. I mean, sexual violence and rape and sexual abuse, but it's so prevalent.
Everywhere.
I mean, in the Western world, developing countries, everywhere.
And we need to learn to see it as well. So that's what this trip is going to be all about. And then we're going to have a music component, healing with music, because that's what they do in Congo a lot. And other very inspirational speakers, and get an understanding of the problem as well.
And do yoga every day.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. And then all the profits of the trip goes to the mission, goes to support the Panzi Hospital in Congo.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you're looking for something amazing to do this August and you want to join us in Sweden, I will be there. You will be there. Mm-hmm. Babies will be there. Grandmothers will be there. And a big group, amazing group of people that are coming together to help make a difference in the world. At the end of the day, that's what 109 is about. And somehow now, I mean, 109 went from this seed of an idea to, I mean, we have a group of five women now working really hard within 109, making a difference.
Yes.
It's an actual working nonprofit now.
We have our third co-founder who's still in Greece working, volunteering in the refugee camp, and has been there for
a long time now.
Yeah, a little more than
a month.
Month, yeah. And we have things going on a little bit all over. We had a really nice pop-up event here in Sweden
yesterday. You forced me to talk. I hate public speaking, which I need to get over anyway. But it was a female empowerment event here in Stockholm. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful with guest speakers. Mm-hmm. And just when women come together, something special really happens.
Yeah.
And I feel now, I mean, more than ever, like motherhood. And it's something that I realize I've taken for granted for so long. Like, one, that women give birth every day.
Yes.
That this is just something that people do. Women do.
Yeah.
Badass. Like, insane. Like,
it is insane.
I'm in awe of women. It's crazy. But then, two, this, you know, you meet women in the working life every day that have kids. It's just so normal. And now I'm realizing, like, the fact that it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Dennis about this yesterday. I'm like, no one ever asks the man, like, oh, you went back to work?
No.
Shouldn't you be home with your kids? You know, and that's kind of, I mean, that's how I've been approached a little bit with stuff that we're doing. Like, oh, you're out and about, you're doing a retreat, you're doing teacher trainings, you're da-da-da. Shouldn't you be home with your baby? Like, well, why don't you ask my husband? Shouldn't he be home with the baby?
Right.
It is harder for a woman to.
It is. And you'll always be judged in a different way.
Yeah. And there's also, unfortunately, a lot of judgment between women also.
For sure.
I think because of the pressure we put on ourselves to be these superhuman, perfect, you know, to do everything all at once. Mm. And when we get together with these higher intentions, you know, with a lot of love, there's so much magic that can happen when we really support each other. And I think that's what we need more of.
Yes, we do.
In every way.
Yeah.
So where do you envision 109 going?
I envision it booming now. I want to just take this momentum and inspire more people, just reach more people. That's what I want 109 to do now, is just reach more people and engage more people in different subjects. So, I mean, women empowerment is one huge and also one basic subject, because it's important in every milestone or passion that we work with.
Isn't it proven that in communities anywhere in the world where women are empowered, everything gets better?
Yes, and the change is more sustainable and more positive and long-term, for sure. So, but also, you know, keep doing more events. So it's not only these retreats, so more people can get involved and make the retreats more accessible.
More affordable. It's a question we get a lot. So
yeah,
these trips, I mean, they're usually around $2,000 to $3,000 for a week somewhere in the world, which is more or less what you spend going on vacation. It's the same price that I charge for a normal retreat. But people sometimes get upset because it is a lot of money. And if you're young and you're working, it can be really hard to save up to make one of these trips happen. But we have to take into consideration that we are staying in hotels for a week straight, eating three meals a day, doing excursions, transportation, going places. Like, all of this costs money. And the reason we do the trips is to raise funds. So all the profits of the missions of the trips actually go to the project. So there's no one here making a profit, you know. I teach for free. Everybody that's involved really donates their time. But yes, it is expensive and it is a commitment to come. So we've had a lot of people do amazing fundraisers for themselves to go, like in amazing, incredible ways, which I love.
Yes. And we actually included that in our website, so you can go create your own fundraising campaign and make it easier to show what you're fundraising for. And it's easy to set up. And so if you have that idea already and you want to direct people to a place, they can do that on our website.
And I think what we're looking to do even more is to really collaborate and work with bigger corporations and big companies that actually have funds and an ability and a willing longing to do good in the world. Because then ideally we could auction off these spots, you know, we could make it super cheap and then have the big companies pay to make a difference in the world, which is also a bigger impact.
Yes.
We could do it that way.
For sure.
So if you work in a place where you know that there is a philanthropic side or a branch and you want to donate time or money or just engagement or anything at all, you can look us up at 109world.com. That's 109world.com.
Yes.
And we also have all of our future trips and events on the site. Mm-hmm. You can also donate if you have $10 to spare every month. You can set up a little donation that goes to the to whichever cause is closest to your heart, because that's also important, that wherever you donate your time and money is where your passion lies.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a lot children and animals. I think for you is women,
environment,
big ones. So go where your heart tells you.
Yes. Love to see you in Åland in Sweden in August.
It's going to be a good time. Thank you so much for taking time out of your new motherhood, second week of motherhood, to do this podcast with me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
We'll do this more.
Yes.
And thank you, Hunter, for being so perfect.
Yeah.
A huge thank you to my guest of this episode, Olivia Rothschild. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. You can find all of these on rachelbraithen.com, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review while you're there. A huge thank you to the folks at Digital Media for their production work. And of course, thank you to my sponsors, Bombas, Sankalpa, and Kapari. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.